Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 433. Racking them up. We're in the book of John, starting with chapter 11 today. Chapter 11 doesn't have many notes, but chapter 12 sure does. So I have something to write with, and we'll see how far we get. Chapter 11 has 57 verses, and chapter 12 has 50. So it's going to be a full show. My website. And I have to give the whole thing because people are just Googling Pastor Steve and are getting everybody but me. My website is https://www.pastor-steve.com. People have been spelling pastor wrong, putting in paster. And that doesn't work. But my laugh got away from me. I had to cough. Let's get into chapter 11. I am just so fired up after doing chapter 9 and 10. These are really just great reads. Verse 1 of chapter 11. And a certain one was sick, Eleazar from Beth Anya, the village of Miriam, and her sister Martha. And you can reference Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. That's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. And that's not Miriam, his mother. That's a different Miriam. It tells here, verse 2, "Now it was Miriam who anointed the master with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Eleazar was sick." And you can reference John chapter 12, verse 3. We'll get to that in a little bit. John 12, 3. Verse 3. "Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Master, see, he whom you love, is sick." Okay. Verse 4. "But when Yeshua heard, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the esteem of Elohim, so that the son of Elohim might be esteemed by it." Okay. This was engineered for a reason. Okay, now, verse 5. "Now Yeshua loved Martha and her sister and Eleazar." They were good friends. He really thought a lot of them. Verse 6. "Therefore, when he heard that he was sick, then indeed he stayed at the place where he was two more days." And he did that for a reason. Okay. So it would be a miracle, because evidently Eleazar was going to die, but he was going to raise him. Okay, that's coming up. Verse 7. "Then after this, he said to the taught ones, Let us go back to Yehuda." Verse 8. "The taught ones said to him, Rabbi, the Yehudim were but now seeking to stone you, and you are going back there?" In other words, are you crazy? They're trying to kill you. Well, he had things to do there. You know, don't worry. You follow him. He doesn't follow you. Verse 9. Yeshua answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anybody walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." Verse 10. "But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." And here he tells them. Verse 11. "He said this, and after that he said to them, Our friend Eleazar has fallen asleep." In other words, he's dead. But that's not a big obstacle to Yeshua. "But I am going there to wake him up." Even the dead. We're dealing with the Son of the Most High here. Verse 12. "Therefore the taught one said to him, Master, if he has fallen asleep, he shall recover." They didn't get it. Verse 13, "But Yeshua had spoken about his death." Spoken about his death. Whereas they thought that he spoke of taking rest in sleep. Verse 14, "So then Yeshua said to them plainly, Eleazar has died." They didn't get it, so he just said it. Okay, he's dead. I'm going to go and raise him from the dead, basically. Verse 15. verse 15. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there in order for you to believe. But let us go to him. In other words, if he was there and he would have saved him, it wouldn't have been any big deal. But he's been dead for 2 days. Now they're going to see something. Verse 16. To Omar, now that's the one who is called the twin. That would be Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas. Well, it's to Omar, who is called the twin, then said to his fellow taught ones, let us also go so that we die with him. Verse 17. Therefore, when Yeshua arrived, he found that he had already been 4 days in the tomb. That's 4 days. Okay? Dead body, not embalmed. They didn't embalm. They just put spices around him. And they put him in there in the heat. A normal body would decompose. It would be rotten in 4 days. Bad meat, you know. Verse 18. Now, Beth Anya was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia away. That's about 3 kilometers or 2 miles. Okay. Verse 19. And many of the Yehudim had come to Martha and Miriam to comfort them concerning their brother. People that lived in the land of Judah. Okay. Verse 20. Martha then, when she heard that Yeshua was coming, met him. But Miriam was sitting in the house. Verse 21. Martha then said to Yeshua, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 22. But even now I know that whatever you might ask of Elohim, Elohim shall give you. Verse 23. And this set everybody back on the heels. Okay. Yeshua said to her, your brother shall rise again. Verse 24, and you can reference 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. That's 2 Maccabees 7, 22 and 23, and chapter 12, verse 44. Chapter 12, verse 44, both in 2 Maccabees. Verse 25, Yeshua said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Very plainly, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. Okay. Verse 26. And everyone that is living and believing in me shall never die at all. Do you believe this? Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Master, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, who is coming into this world. Verse 28, and having said this, she went away and called her sister Miriam secretly, saying, the teacher is here and calls you. Verse 29. When she heard, she rose up quickly and came to him. Verse 30. And Yeshua had not yet come into the village, but was in the place where Martha met him. Verse 31, therefore, the Yehudim who were with her in the house and were comforting her, when they saw that Miriam rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Verse 32, Miriam, therefore, when she came where Yeshua was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, he was supposed to die because he was supposed to be resurrected by Yeshua to show all these people his power. Okay, the power of Elohim manifest in a man. They'd never seen this. Okay, verse 33. Yeshua, therefore, when he saw her weeping and the Ya'udim who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled because he didn't want these other scumbums going along, just her. Verse 34, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Master, come and see. This is the shortest verse in the entire scripture, old, new, Apocrypha, anything. This verse 35 is only two words, Yeshua wept. Verse 36. The Ya'udim therefore said, See how he loved him. Okay, this is the, now listen, here it comes from some of these people. Verse 37. And some of them said, Was this one who opened the eyes of the blind? Not also able to prevent this one from dying? In other words, they're doubting. Of course they're doubting. They're not of Yahweh. Okay? They're not going to believe until they see. And even then, they're going to have problems if they're Edomites and not of Israel, because the people of Judea, they were all associating together, Edomites and people of the tribe of Yehuda, and they were all in, they didn't differentiate at that time. Well, verse 38. Yeshua, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. He was upset because he had to let his friend pass so he could resurrect him. Now, it was a cave and a stone lay against it. That was the tomb, okay? Verse 39. Yeshua said, Take away the stone. All right, this is the typical response that he's going to get because it's been 4 days. Martha, the sister of him who had died, said to him, Master, already he smells, for it is 4 days. And here he's going to counter that. Verse 40, Yeshua said to her, Did I not say to you that if you believe, you shall see the esteem of Elohim? Verse 41, So they took away the stone where the dead man was laid. And Yeshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Verse 42. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing by, I said this in order that they believe that you sent me. Verse 43. And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Eleazar, come out. Verse 44. And he who died came out bound, feet and hands with wrappings. That's how they did a corpse. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Yahshua said to them, loosen him and let him go. All right. Now, we had these Yehudim. They don't differentiate here. Some of them were true people of Yehuda. Some of them were not. They're going to separate here. All right. Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Yehudim who had come to Miriam and had seen what Yeshua did believed in him. All right. Those were the true ones. Verse 46. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them what Yeshua did. Verse 47. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? Because this man does many signs. And here's their reasoning. Verse 48. If we let him alone like this, they all shall believe in him. And the Romans shall come and take away from us both our place and nation. Oh, man, Verse 49. And one of them, Caiapha, being high priest that year, said to them, you know not. In other words, you don't know anything. Verse 50. Neither do you consider that it is better for us. And I hiss like a snake because that's what they are. For us, that one man die for the people than that the entire nation should perish. In other words, they're going to try to kill him because they're worried about their political connections. Verse 51. But he did not say this from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yeshua was about to die for the nation. See, Yahweh used this Caiapha as a tool. Verse 52, and not for the nation only, but to gather together into one the children of Elohim who were scattered abroad. Gathered into one in the body of Christ. Scattered abroad, that's us, okay? Verse 53, so from that day on they plotted to kill him. Verse 54, Yeshua therefore no longer went openly among the Yehudim, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim and remained there with his taught ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He left and went elsewhere. Now, verse 55. Now the Pesach of the Odim was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Pesach to set themselves apart. Verse 56. And so they were seeking Yeshua and spoke among one another, standing in the set apart place. What do you think? Is he not coming to the festival at all? Verse 57. And both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should disclose it in order for them to seize him. Plotting his death. Already, it was a stacked deck. Okay? No chance for fairness. They already had planned to kill him. Now that ends chapter 11 of the book of John. Now we're going to get into chapter 12 here. Now there's a lot more notes here. Not tons of them, but there are some. More than chapter 11. So let's get into chapter 12, verse 1. Accordingly, Yeshua, 6 days before the Pesach, that's Passover, came to Beit Anya, where Eleazar was, who had died, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 2. So they made him a supper there, and Martha served, while Eleazar was one of those who sat at the table with him. Verse 3, and you can reference the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. That's Luke 7, 37 and 38. Then Miriam took a pound of costly perfume of nard. Now that would be spikenard. That's a rare spice, very fragrant. Anointed the feet of Yeshua and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Verse 4. And here is the Jew in the bunch who had the bag. Verse 4. Then one of his taught ones, Yehuda from Kerioth, that's Ish-Kerioth, son of Shimeon, who was about to deliver him up, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Verse 6, and this tells what he was. And he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, because he was a thief and had the bag, and he used to take what was put in it. That was their savings. He was in charge of the little group treasury as they traveled, and he used to steal out of it. Boy, is that typical, okay, for an Edomite. Verse 7. Yeshua then said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Verse 8 of chapter 12. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. Deuteronomy 15, 11. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Verse 9. Then a great crowd of the Yehudim learned that he was there, and they came, not on account of Yeshua only, but also to see Eleazar, whom he had raised from the dead. Some were believers, some were just nosy. Verse 10. And the chief priests resolved to kill Eleazar as well. Verse 11. Because on account of him, many of the Yehudim went away and believed in Yeshua. They were losing Talmudic converts. Okay? Yeshua was stealing their thunder. So they were going to kill both of them. Boy, they are evil, evil, evil. Verse 12. On the next day, a great crowd who had come to the festival, when they heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem, verse 13, now here's a bunch of notes. Verse 13, you can reference Matthew 23, 39. Matthew chapter 23, verse 39. Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. That's Psalm 118, 25 and 26. And 1 Maccabees 13, verse 51. That's 1 Maccabees 13, 51. Verse 13. They took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and were crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who is coming in the name of Yahweh, the sovereign of Israel. The king. The king. Okay. Verse 14. And Yeshua, having found a young donkey, sat on it, as it has been written. Verse 15, and you can reference Zechariah 9, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Do not fear, daughter of Zion, see, your sovereign is coming, sitting on the colt of a donkey. Verse 16. First, his taught ones did not understand this, but when Yeshua was esteemed, then they remembered that this was written about him and that they had done this to him. Oh, the light bulb came on, okay. Verse 17. Therefore, the crowd who were with him when he called Eleazar out of his tomb and raised him from the dead were bearing witness. They were bearing witness. They saw it. Verse 18. On account of this, the crowd also met him because they had heard that he had done this sign. Verse 19. The Pharisees then said among themselves, you see how you are getting nowhere at all? Look, the world has gone after him. They were worried that their Talmud was going to be of no effect. And they're still doing that. The world, the order of arrangement was changing. Okay. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among those coming up to worship at the festival. Now these were Greek Israelites. They were in dispersion in Greece. Verse 21. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and were asking him, saying, Master, we wish to see Yeshua. Verse 22. Philip came and told Andre, and in turn, Andre and Philip told Yeshua. Verse 23, and Yeshua answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Adam to be esteemed. verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Verse 25, and I'll explain this. He who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world shall preserve it for everlasting life. That's life in this world, your earthly life, which is only temporary. If you love all the stuff and all the things you have and your job and all the things that distract you from service to Yeshua, you'll lose that everlasting life. But if you hate this world, you see the evil in it, you see the deception and the lies, and you follow Yeshua instead of the world, you'll have everlasting life. And you can reference that for Matthew 10, verse 39. Matthew 10:39 and 16:25. That's 16:25. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. That's Mark 8:35. And the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 24. That's 9:24. And chapter 17, verse 33. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant also shall be. If anyone serves me, the Father shall value him. Verse 27, listen to this. Now I myself am troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this reason, I came to this hour. In other words, his time had come. He realized he was going to have to sacrifice his own life to pay the price for redemption for our sins. This is set up that way. Verse 28. Father, esteem your name. Then a voice came from the heaven. I have both esteemed it and shall esteem it again. Verse 29. So the crowd who stood by and heard it were saying that there had been thunders. Others said, a messenger has spoken to him. That would be one that you call an angel. Verse 30, Yeshua answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Your sake. You needed to hear it. Verse 31. And you can reference Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Luke 4, 6, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. That's the order of arrangement that is going on. Now the ruler of this world, that would be the devil, okay, shall be cast out. It's an ongoing process, still going on today. Verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, shall draw all unto myself. Verse 33, lifted up from the earth, okay? That's what he was going to be put up on that pole. Verse 33, this he said, signifying by what death he was about to die. What they call crucifixion. That's where they get cross. Well, no. It's impalement, okay? Just one pole, no crossbar. That's a myth. That's a Catholic Church thing. Verse 34. The crowd answered him, "We have heard out of the Torah that the Messiah remains forever. And how do you say the son of Adam has to be lifted up? Who is this son of Adam?" And for verse 34, you can reference Psalm 110, verse 4. Psalm 110, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah 9, 7. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 25. Ezekiel 37, 25. And Daniel 7, verse 14. Daniel 7, verse 14. Now here's verses 35 and 36. For both these verses, 35 and 36, reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 17, verse 5. That's 4th Maccabees, 17, verse 5. Verse 35. Yeshua, therefore, said to them, "Yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." Verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you become sons of light. These words Yeshua spoke and went off and was hidden from them. Verse 37. But though he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. They were more comfortable with the Talmud and the ritual and the rigmarole. They didn't believe him. Verse 38. That the word of Yeshayahu, that's Isaiah, the prophet, might be filled, which he spoke, "Yahweh, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed?" You can reference Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Verse 39. Because of this, they were unable to believe, because again, Yeshayahu said, this is verse 40, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, that's Isaiah 6:10, and Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Verse 40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I should heal them. Verse 41. Yeshayahu said this when he saw his esteem and spoke of him. Verse 42. Still, even among the rulers, many did believe in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They were afraid of the Jews. Isn't that going on today? People won't. They won't confess because of the modern day Pharisees. Lest they be put out of the congregation. If you go into a Judeo-Christian church and teach Christian identity and the truth, that there was no Jewish Jesus, that he was an Israelite Messiah, you'll get kicked out. Verse 43, here's the reason. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of Elohim. That says it all right there. They loved the praise of men. Love the praise of men more than the praise of Elohim. Verse 44. Then Yeshua cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Verse 45. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. He was an earthly manifestation. Yah in the flesh. Verse 46. I have come as a light into the world. That's this order of arrangement. So that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Verse 47. And if anyone hears my words but does not watch over them, in other words, do them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. I didn't come to judge the order of arrangement, but to save the order of arrangement that Yahweh established, not the order of arrangement that the adversary has established. Different order of arrangement. Verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. You can reference John 3, 18 and 19, and John 7, verse 16. That's 3, 18 and 19 and 7, 16 for verse 48. Verse 49. Because I spoke not from myself, but the Father who sent me has given me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Reference John chapter 7, verse 16 on that. Verse 50, and this ends chapter 12, and you can reference for verse 50 Matthew 19:17. That's Matthew chapter 19 verse 17, and the book of John chapter 3 verse 36. And I know that his command is everlasting life. His command is everlasting life. Okay, for those that believe. Therefore, whatever I speak, as the Father has said to me, so I speak. And that ends chapter 12 of the book of John. He did these miracles and absolutely astounded everybody. The ones that had the spirit of Yahweh that was given to them by Yahweh, they believed and they followed him. And the ones that didn't have it, that Yahweh had not blessed with that spirit, whether they were of Israel or not of Israel, if they were Edomites, whatever, there are Israelites that didn't believe. There are Israelites today that don't believe. No difference. There's going to be Israelites that are coming into the kingdom. There's going to be Israelites that are numbered among the tares and will be burned up. This is a choice that they make. Things haven't changed. Everybody, all the world is so different. No, the world is not different. The world, unfortunately, the world, meaning this order of arrangement we're living under today, this Babylonian system, has not changed. It's evil. The kingdom of Yahweh is nigh. It can be here. There's pieces and parts of it in the world today, and we separate and go into that kingdom. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Well, where do we go when we're separate? Now, there's still persecution. There's persecution of the true believers. It was that way then, and it's that way now, and it will continue until the second coming. Nobody said this was a free ride, folks. Nobody said it was a free ride. We have to deal with this. He said, occupy until I come. And he wasn't joking. Occupy, that means stay here and do my business and spread my word, spread my gospel, witness to other people. Try to gather fruits worthy of repentance. Try to get others that are of Israel into the remnant. Talk to them about Yeshua, about who he really is, who we really are, instead of this Judeo-Christian claptrap that they've been lied to with. It's a real effort. It's an effort. And it's an ongoing effort. And we need to be aware of that. There is, oft times, a price to pay for being true to the Messiah. There's a price for that. Not all sugar and spice and everything nice and warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. No, it's not that way. It's not that way. We're dealing with the children of the murderer from the beginning. Okay? They're killing some of us for standing up for the word. And that runs a lot of people off. They're afraid of that. Well, they're afraid of losing this life in this world. What did he just say? If you love your life in this world, you're going to lose your eternal life. But if you don't love your life in this world and you serve Yeshua, you're going to have eternal life. See, the thing is, everybody dies here. Okay, some sooner, some later. We've seen some real dirtballs die lately. Yahweh is beginning to call the herd. He's starting to take out the enemy in his timetable, not ours. Not ours. Don't let us get our egos into this. What we would like, what we want. Let's let Yahweh take care of business, what he wants. We need to be subservient and good children and good servants. And be patient. Wait on Yahweh. It says that. And a lot of people get in a hurry, and I know I get antsy. I just hate these devils so bad. And I want him to smite them. Oh, I want that. But he'll do that. That's coming. But not on my timetable. I have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. I have to lead by example. And sometimes I fail because I do the same as St. Paul. I have to die to my sins daily, ask forgiveness, because I'm always making little mistakes. Mistake, not huge deeds, but mistakes in thoughts. Thoughts that I really shouldn't have and things. I mean, there's all different levels of sin. I'm not running around murdering people or robbing or dealing drugs or pimping, okay, but there are things that I do occasionally, not all the time, I'm not a rampant sinner, that might go against the word of Yahweh, and I have to ask forgiveness for that, because I'm still in this flesh body and I'm subject to the temptations and impulses of this flesh body. You know, people, I don't know. Nobody said it was going to be easy. It's not a cakewalk. Okay? It's tough. It's tough on me. It'll be tough on you. But we have to be tough. And we have to occupy until he returns. And that's coming sooner and sooner. And so every day that passes is a day closer. Just think of it that way. And we don't know when. We don't know when. He doesn't tell us. It'll come like a thief in the night. It'll be a total surprise. We'll be going along one day and all this terrible stuff's going on, and then boom. Whew. Boy, hard to wait, folks. It's hard to wait. Well, I'm going to play one little tune. I'm going to play the bumper music and then play a little tune, and I'll catch you on the next show. We'll start with chapter 13 on the next show. Praise Yahweh, and may he richly bless you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
She's telling me, love, you know, hand me down. Your lady, hey, oh, your lady. She got eyes like a diamond, but if she shines just the same. She's got two ruby lips, and hair like a horse's mane. Your lady, hey, oh, your lady. Every time I need you, mama, lots of always on the street. Every time I need you, mama, lots of always on the street. You hang out on a corner like a policeman on the beat. Your lady, hey, hey, oh, your lady. Put your head brakes on. Good luck.